Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's true of all of you, by the way, too, that you are God's beloved children, and that God rejoices over each and every one of you with singing. There's a lot that goes into putting the bulletin together. There are a lot of moving parts and pieces, and it can be very easy to make a mistake, a typo, a punctuation error, misspellings, you name it. Here are a few funny instances of this happening in church bulletins, thankfully not ours. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Mr. Bradford was elected and has accepted the office of head deacon. We could not find a better man. The outreach committee has enlisted 25 visitors to make calls on people who are not afflicted with any church, instead of affiliated, of people who are not afflicted with any church. Potluck supper Sunday at 5, prayer and medication to follow. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin instead of sing. Come prepared to sin. Hymn, I need three every hour. I remember one time when I opened a bulletin and was giving it the first once-over glance. And I was taken aback at what I thought must have been a huge error. It was the funeral bulletin for one of the dearest and most significant people in my life, Grace Nelson. Although Grace lived to be in her 90s, she still died too soon, and the world did not have her long enough. She lived out her name. She was Grace embodied. At her funeral, the gathering hymn was listed as Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And when I first glanced through the hymn and saw that, I was stunned and felt taken aback and thought, well, this is a pretty huge error that somebody had made. How could we sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee at her funeral? I was heartbroken at her death, and so was her family and her friends and her church family. But sure enough, the pastor didn't make an announcement that there was a typo, and as the gathering hymn, we sang together, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. But I couldn't sing the song because I was so moved and overcome at how beautifully and perfectly that hymn fit her life and her funeral. Grace knew that even in the midst of pain and sadness, in the midst of sorrow and heartbreak, that we still have joy in God. She believed so fully and deeply in the resurrection that even her death was cause for joy. Because through it, Jesus Christ had raised her to eternal life, and she was forever home in the presence of God. I think she wanted to remind us all of that. Grace, who also knew deep pain and sorrow in her own life, knew that pain and sorrow cannot undo or take away the joy that we have in the Lord. The joy in the Lord we have is because God is with us, and because God holds us and carries us in the midst of our pain and heartbreak. These words hit me every time I hear them and sing them. Love divine is reigning o'er us, leading us with mercy's hand. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumph song of life. Because of what I realized in singing this hymn at Grace's funeral, this hymn was sung at my ordination. It was sung at my installation here. I will forever remember us singing it the morning after Robin died. And someday it will be sung at my own funeral, reminding those in attendance that death and loss and grief cannot take away the joy that we have in the Lord. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. As I mentioned earlier, it's called Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice, and it comes from the reading in our epistle lesson today. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We join with countless other churches all over the world this day, lighting our pink candle as a symbol for the joy that we have in God. And the joy that we have in God is not and cannot be based on our circumstances. It is based on who God is, on what God is doing, and what we know God will do. We know that God is love and faithfulness and mercy, and that God keeps all of God's promises and comes to us over and over again. We are all longing for joy. If joy were up to us, I think that Advent might be the hardest time of year to be joyful or to have joy. Because for one reason or another, we are all overwhelmed and stressed. This is our second pandemic Christmas, and people are chomping at the bits because they want this Christmas to be normal. But it can't be, because we are still in a pandemic, and that makes people frustrated. It actually makes them mostly sad, but it's often so hard to sit with our sadness and grief that it's easier for people to express that as unhappiness and anger. Always in Advent, our schedules are too busy because we fill them too full. Full of good things, but still too full. And so we are overwhelmed and overcommitted and exhausted. Financially, Advent is a stressful time because we often want to do more and spend more than we should or than we are able to, because we're trying to keep up with impossible and an unrealistic standard of spending. And there has been, and there is, some really hard stuff happening in the world and in our community. I can hardly bear to look at the images of the devastation in Kentucky from the tornadoes, and the death toll keeps rising and rising. I think about the people and children in our own community who are hungry and don't have enough food to eat. And then there's the hard stuff that is personally happening in our lives. People who are unemployed or underemployed, difficulties and challenges in relationships and in families. Many in our church family have lost a loved one in the last few months and are slogging through the pain of this first Christmas since the death of their loved one or loved ones. And then we are heavy-hearted at the death of Robin Beck. There are so many reasons why Advent and Christmas are hard. For so many of us, it's difficult to have a happy holiday or a Merry Christmas or think about a cup of cheer. But then we might feel guilty that we're not happy or merry or cheerful, because aren't we supposed to be during this time of year? No. It's okay if you don't feel happy or cheerful or merry. God doesn't call us or even ask us to be these things. Instead, God reminds us that God is faithful and that God is with us in the pain and difficulty of our lives and circumstances. And God gives us the hope and peace and joy and love that can only be found in Him. Thank goodness joy isn't up to us to muster, because it can be awfully hard to manufacture or produce. But instead, joy is God's gift to us. And the joy we have is not based on our circumstances, but on who God is and what God is doing. In this season of Advent, we are watching and waiting and hoping for Christ to come. We wait for the Christ child, joining our hearts and minds with the faithful people of long ago who waited and watched and hoped for the promised Messiah, the one for whom John the Baptist announced would be coming, the one who is the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among people. And we wait for the coming of Christ that is yet to be at the end of time. Christ will come and will gather up God's beloved people and will mend what sin has torn apart. And in the lyrics of Joy to the World, which we are going to sing together in just a little bit, the present tense verbs remind us and assure us that there is a present Advent as well, because Christ comes to us here and now. Every day is an Advent because Jesus is Emmanuel. God comes to us in the waters of baptism. God comes to us in bread and wine. God comes to us in the community of faith. May we hear the angels sing and proclaim good tidings of great joy, because for unto us a Savior is born. This is news that is good and is cause for great joy. God has come to us and abides with us now and forever. Amen.